Well, those are important words that we just sang. You are worth it all. One of the passages that I was just reflecting on as we were singing through that song was this. It's in, found in Philippians. It says, "For his sake, for Jesus, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ." I'm willing to suffer the loss of all things. Think about that for a moment. You are worth it all. We just sang this song about, man, you are so worth it all. Am I willing to suffer the loss of all things? It's so easy for me to mumble those words and sing through those words, but then I start thinking through, man, am I willing to suffer the loss of my family? Suffer the loss of my reputation? Suffer the loss of my job? Am I willing to suffer the loss of my safety? All for the sake that I may gain Christ. We just sang that. You're worth it all. Whatever happens, you are worth it, Jesus. We are singing that song. Do you understand the words that we're singing? This morning, what we're going to be talking about is this reality that faces each and every one of us in a unique way, and that's fear. And so the big idea that we're going to be trying to unpack is this: how is it that I can walk and go through life and have confidence and not shrink back in fear? How is it that I can say, you are worth it all in the end? And David's going to give us some instruction in that. Just to maybe give a little illustration of my journey through fear, I laugh where I am today. When I was in high school, give a guess what my biggest fear was. Well, besides girls, somehow I got a wife. I have no clue how that happened. Public speaking, I hated it. Absolutely hated it. My hands would start shaking, my heart, you know those moments where you can literally feel your heartbeat in your head and you go, wait a minute, I thought that thing's down here, but somehow I can feel this thing reverberating through my head. My palms would get sweaty, my knees would get weak, and oh man, I would fumble for words. I was petrified of speaking. But ultimately, it wasn't speaking that I was afraid of. What I was really afraid of was what other people thought of me. Because what I really wanted more than anything else is I longed for prominence and respect from people. And so I was worried about the words coming out of my mouth. Would I gain value? Would I lose something inside of others? See, fear is one of those things that sometimes we think through fear and we think, okay, large animal. Like I think of the guys riding bulls right now. There's a reason that I'm afraid of a bull. It straight up runs you over. My nephew decided to try bullfighting. And he straight up got ran over by a bull trying to do this. In school, this bull ran him over. There's a reason that he and I am afraid of bulls. They run you over. But fear comes in a variety of different packages. And some of it actually can be things where I don't want to let you get to know the real me because I'm afraid if you got to know me, you would actually find out the truth and that would actually prevent you from wanting to know me. Fear happens in a variety of different ways, and it comes in different packages. And we have to realize this, that fear, our reaction to fear can happen in a lot of different ways before we get into the passage. Sometimes we fight fear with fear. And so how do I fight fear with fear? Well, sometimes I just try to avoid a place of fear. When I was a kid, I remember this, and maybe some of you that are kids are kind of like this. There was one place that I did not want to be sent, and that was in the basement because it's dark, and I don't want to go in the basement all by myself because, dang it, I'm afraid of it. And so what would I do? I would go, somebody else needs to find it. Todd, my older brother, could you go get that? No. Well, I'll turn the lights on for you. Well, no, I don't want to go down there. I don't want to go by myself. And so we try to avoid places of fear, or maybe we even try to hide from what's fearful. Some of you that have been in school and you remember this moment when you're sitting there in class and you don't want the teacher to call on you, what do? You just pray that you disappear from that seat that you are sitting in, right? Please, Jesus, just make me invisible if they don't see me. And then what do I do with my eyes? Man, don't make eye contact. If I don't look at them, they won't know I'm sitting here. And for some reason, it always seems to be that the teacher somehow locks into the kid that like looks away. And that's the person that they call on. My second fear was reading in class. And I was usually the one that would try to hide my eyes. And that was the thing that I would get to do really quickly. So I try to fight fear with fear. I try to avoid it. I try to hide from it. Or maybe I fight fear with what's opposite of fear. Some of you may not realize that I was actually a roper when I was younger. Did you even know this? I don't think you did. I have a cousin in here. So one day, my dad decides to buy two calves. Calves grow up to be steers, and we decide to brand steers. So my dad says, here's a rope, go catch the steer. Now, I'm like a buck five. The steer is not. It's way bigger. And so I go out there, and I try to put on a big face and try to act courageous around this thing, and I get my lasso going, and I throw, beginner's luck, I catch the thing. And what do? I pull back on that thing, and where do you think I went? Woo! I am being dragged around the pasture, and this guy came over and was threatening to call, you know, Humane Society, you're not being kind to animals. Sheriff came out to watch this whole process and said, well, I'm just out here to check on this. There was a call about people treating animals unfairly, but sir, the only thing I can see is that the only thing type of abuse that's going on is child abuse. And so as I'm being dragged around the pasture, sometimes we try to fight fear by being courageous. We put on a strong face and we go in. And is that what it means to face fear? Is that how we're to encounter fear? I just put on a bold face and try to face it. A lot of different ways that we try to face our fear. But now what I want us to do is I want us to back up and I want us to read through Scripture together. And I want you to listen and pay attention for David addressing, how does he deal with fear? How is it that we're supposed to deal with fear? Am I to turn and hide? Am I try to ignore it? Am I try to cover it up? Am I try to, should I just try to put on a brazen face and just go at it and try to look for places to be fearful to overcome fear? What am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to encounter this? So listen with me as I read for us Psalm 23. I ask that we stand together just in honor of the word. There's a time in Nehemiah's day that they stood in honor of the word of God just to listen to it. And that's what we'll do this morning. Listen along as I read this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Go ahead and be seated. So we're going to be looking at this passage, and the primary focus that we're going to be looking at is Psalm 23, verse 4, where he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What's the importance for us in walking and knowing how to walk through fear? Why is it so important for us to understand this? Why is it so important for us to learn to get to that last part where it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me? That's so important to this passage. And I'll address that later on as we keep going through. But listen for that. So as we kind of think through this, I address some different ways that we try to deal with fear. But here's the reality of what I want us to realize, that walking without fear for David isn't about avoiding places of fear. Do you catch that? It's not about avoiding a place of fear. Because what does he say? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So he's not trying to avoid it, but he's going to face it. He's going to walk through this valley. Even though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death. See, the picture of a valley that I want you to have is when we were in Israel, we were able to take a look at these different valleys. The easiest way to get up onto a hilltop, maybe I was in Jericho, heading to Jerusalem. And what I would take is I would take a valley like the one that you're going to see behind me. And I would take this valley and it would work its way and meander its way up to a hilltop. And so the imagery that we need to have, that David's trying to convey here, is that a good shepherd, what would happen oftentimes, and we see it even happen here, I don't just leave animals to graze on a pasture and just mow it down. Sheep will eat the ground from underneath their feet. And so a good shepherd is going to have them in an area, and then all of a sudden when summer comes, he's going to move these sheep into a different area so that there can actually be pasture, and he's going to leave the other pasture for when he needs to bring them back in the winter and in the spring so that they have something to graze on. And David's giving this picture of a shepherd moving the sheep, and where they're going to be going through is they're going to be going through valleys like the one that you see behind me. And in those valleys, there's going to be animals that might be lurking. In fact, we even see it in the days of Jesus that there was a good Samaritan walking along. Most likely he was walking along much like a valley behind me. And what happened to him? He was jumped by a band of robbers, and they beat him and took his things. These type of places David knows, and he's thinking through this, that even though I walk through a valley of a shadow of death, he's going to say, I'm going to fear no evil. So the path to higher ground usually involved navigating valleys like the one behind me. And the good shepherd would move the sheep to summer grazing. And sometimes that would involve going up into mountains. And as the snow would melt away, they would keep moving the sheep up further and further into the mountains to get the grass. Then we have this word that is mentioned in here, shadow of death. And like I had mentioned earlier as we were going through this series, many times when we look at Psalm 23, this is the verse that people go to and think of for funerals. And it's this word that sticks out, the shadow of death. But something that I want us to understand, while this is often used in conjunction with burials, David isn't going to the grave. Do you catch that? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where's his goal? David's not looking to camp in this valley. He's not looking to build up residence in this valley. He's not looking to die in this valley. He's looking to move through the valley. The valley isn't his ultimate end, his goal, and where he's trying to reach. This word, the shadow of death, see, in a house of two boys, I've experienced the threat of death from a shadow flying over my head as they're playing games in the house, like balls, and all of a sudden I'm ducking. And sheep are really skittish animals. If there's any change in the environment, shoot, even clouds coming overhead, it can make sheep uneasy. And the thing that we're looking at is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but another translation of this shadow of death could be a valley of deep darkness. So it's not necessarily that he's just going to the grave, but I'll tell you what, sometimes when you're going through a valley, doesn't it feel like it? Doesn't it feel like it in life when you're going through difficult circumstances in life that, man, death's just around the corner? And David's talking about this reality. Either way you put it, whether it's a valley of deep darkness or a valley of the shadow of death, this is about a season, and a season we all know too well, living in a world that's marred by brokenness and sees the impact of sin in our relationships and fallen world where man, there's not a whole lot of security in it, and we're grasping for security, looking for it in any place. There's difficult seasons in life where you feel like maybe like a grape that's being trod in a wine press, or maybe more like an olive that is being pressed out to get olive oil. Or maybe a rag that you soak in some water and you're twisting it and wringing it out, and that's what life feels like. You're just being wrung dry for each and every ounce of moisture in your life. That's that picture of a valley of a shadow of death. It's a difficult season in life. It's hard. I'm sure you've felt that way in life. I know I have. But notice something. This could be financial. This could be a relationship. It could be failure. Not necessarily moral, but sometimes when we're going through life, we make a mistake. And that mistake all of a sudden blows up huge, and you're like, how am I going to keep moving on? Man, I made this mistake. How do I keep taking one foot in front of the other? Maybe it's relationship with a person, or maybe it's a loss of some kind, or a setback, or death of a loved one. David isn't settled on camping in the valley. He's not going to live in the valley. He's moving on. He's moving through, and this lends itself to be this idea that this isn't simply a picture of him going to death. This is actually about life. This psalm, this passage is actually, how do I navigate the difficulties of life and do it well? And so he's giving this picture of a valley. There's life past the valley. It's on ahead. And this would give hope to the listeners. Even though I walk through this valley, that's not the end. I'm moving through this valley. In fact, it speaks very honestly about life, doesn't it? Sometimes there's valleys in life. There's difficulty that we hit. That's just the reality of it. There's nothing wrong that's happened in my life. There's just difficult seasons of life. Maybe it's kids. Maybe it's loss of a job. Variety of different things that it could be. There are difficult seasons in life, and they aren't meant to be the end, but they can be a means to an end. So here's the question that I was thinking about with this. How did David get in this valley? Because this is the thing that I think is sometimes often forgot. How did David get in this spot? How did he get in this valley that as he's going through? Did he wander off from the flock? Is it his own failure, moral failure? Or what is it that got him in this valley? Because sometimes I think we can think through this and go, man, this is my stupidity. I made a big mistake and now I'm in this valley. But the reality of how he got there is this. This isn't about putting oneself in harm's way or having a good face or merely acting courageous or simply wishing and hoping you wouldn't be seen as you venture through the valley. How did he get there? See, the way that David got here and what we need to focus on this morning is this. What David has been celebrating in this psalm is the Lord's leading. This is a song all about this, encouraging us to look at how did he get to this place in the valley? We can see evidence of this all throughout Scripture. In the first passage, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is the one that's pictured as leading David. Not only is he leading, but he's leading in such a way that David says, man, I don't lack a thing because of my shepherd. This is a good shepherd. And he's leading me in through this valley, and I can trust this shepherd. He's good. He then even goes on to describe how he can trust this shepherd. The shepherd's care makes him lie down and rest. The shepherd's care brings him to resting places where there's plenty of water. And the shepherd's care also, it helps change him into a better state. When he's exhausted, the shepherd cares for him and restores his soul. So as David's looking at the shepherd that is leading him, it's the shepherd that's actually led him into this dark valley. Man, that changes things a little bit when I start realizing, wait, this is God who's brought me into this place. And I need to keep looking to him for the one for direction as we navigate this dark valley. And man, it doesn't feel great. And man, it's awful to be in here. But how do I get through this thing? I keep looking to the good shepherd who's leading. It's even an answer inside of there. Realize David is not in this valley by accident or by navigational error. There's not a beeping sounding going, rerouting, going on. Sometimes you've been working with your GPS and then you take a turn and it's telling you, no, you need to go this way. God is confidently leading David through this dark valley and he's taking him to a place and they have to go through this valley to get to what's ahead. And sometimes in each and every one of our lives, the reality is there's a good shepherd leading you and there are difficult things that you're facing in life. And sometimes my heart is, man, I just want to be removed from this. I just don't want this going on in my life. And sometimes we're looking at it happening in others and we're going, I need to rescue you from this. But what if this is actually the intention of the good shepherd walking me through a difficult season in life? Why? Because I need to learn something about this good shepherd who's going to walk me through this valley. There's an intentionality that he's walking me through this. He wants to teach me a little bit more about himself. So as we look at this, why is this important? See, through valleys, it's easy to assume that we're on our own, isn't it? Through difficult seasons in life, doesn't it often feel like, oh my goodness, I'm all on my own on this. Nobody understands what I'm going through. I am this unique circumstance, this unique situation. Why else is this important? Through valleys, it's easy to think that this is the end. Man, there's no way that I can get up out of this. This is so awful. There's no way I can recover from this. And through valleys, what's biggest are the shadows and the sounds, right? The difficulty that I'm facing and the things that are around me, I'm going, man, those are the things that are huge in my life. There's no way I'm going to get by these. And what a good shepherd is doing is he's walking me through and reminding me, yes, there are these noises. Yes, there are all of these fears looming, but keep your eye on a good shepherd. Because it's through the valley that we learn about our shepherd. We learn to have our confidence in him. We learn to be comforted by him and his protection. We learn not just to trust in ourselves. The reality is, if you've ever seen sheep, how great are sheep at defending themselves? I knew of sheep one time where a guy literally scared a sheep to death. Literally killed it. Dead. Sheep aren't great at fighting for ourselves. Their strength comes in numbers and being with other sheep. And usually that strength in numbers is, my hope is that I can run faster than the next sheep so I can go, ha ha! Too bad for you. And so the reality that we're looking at with sheep is that there's a need for protection outside of themselves, and the shepherd is being pointed to by David. So as we keep looking through this, how do we walk without fear through a valley? And here's the big idea, that we have to learn the joy of a single statement. What is it? You are with me. You're with me. David looks at this and he goes, listen, even though I walk through this valley and you're leading me through this, I don't have to be afraid. Why? Not because I need to put on a big face, not because I need to ignore what's going on around me. That's real. The shadows I'm seeing, the things that are causing me trepidation, those things are real to me. But there's a shepherd like the picture behind me, a shepherd that's leading confidently and walking forward. And he has a rod and a staff that can protect. That rod, sometimes it was a club that a shepherd would carry that he could fend off wild predators. A staff could be the same thing. Sometimes it was used for direction and coaxing the sheep to go a certain way. Or other times he could use it to flat out whack a wolf or a wild animal on the head. And David's looking at us and saying, listen, the way that I have confidence as I go through this isn't by trying to hide, isn't trying to avoid, isn't trying to just put on a bold face. I look to my shepherd, and I admit you are with me. But here's the reality. There's some verses coming up. The reality is that in my own heart, sometimes it doesn't always feel that way, does it? But as we look through this aspect in the next slide, can we go to that, Ty? Job 42:5 says this, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. And what Job is trying to say through that is Job has everything in his life that's been stripped away. And he comes to this place in the end where he's going, where were you, God? Where were you when all of this was happening? And he's asking honest questions about God. And even though it didn't feel like God was around, what does he admit? I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now I see you. Even though I thought you weren't there, the reason that this verse is so important for us to realize and what David's trying to point us out is that sometimes it doesn't always feel like the shepherd is there, but Job's admitting this great reality that you are there. Now I see you. You had a purpose in all this. You were leading me, and I didn't realize it. We also can look at Psalm 46:1-2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, in verse 2, it says, we will not fear though the earth gives way. I don't have to fear even though life looks like it's falling apart. Why? Because I have this refuge, I have this strength, and it's God whose presence is going to give me that strength and that courage to face what adversity I'm facing in my life. And David's saying, man, even though I walk through this valley, I'm not going to fear anything because you're with me. And this Psalm 73 is a passage that means something very deeply to me because there was a season just this last year that I was walking through that my heart was bent toward fear. I was cowering in my heart. And I read through this verse in Psalm 73 and it says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. Why is it significant that Asaph speaks of his right hand being held? How many of you in here are right-handed? Right hand was a source of strength, of power. And notice his free hand wasn't his strong hand. The hand that God was upholding and holding on to was his strength. He couldn't use it. And what I love about this passage is this wasn't about me trying to cling to God. This wasn't about Asaph trying to cling to God. This presence of God wasn't because of Asaph's clinging to God, but rather God's firm grasp of Asaph. You are continually with me. And you uphold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you'll receive me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? There's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Remember that song? My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart forever. See, the reality of what's being talked about is some people, as we've read through Scripture, we realize the fact that what Scripture talks about God is that he is everywhere. Now, that doesn't mean like his big toe is over in Connecticut and his finger is over in L.A. What it means is that God is fully present. All aspects of who he is present right here with me. Now, why is that so important to think through? And David's saying, you're with me. Wherever I am, you're with me. And Psalm 139 talks about that reality. It also talks about it in Acts 17, that God, wherever I go, I can't escape from your presence. That wherever I go, you're right there with me. Why is that so important? Because as I'm walking down that dark valley, the reality is I don't need to go to a temple. I don't need to go to a specific place for God to strengthen me. He's everywhere. And David's focusing on that reality that, listen, wherever I am in the darkest valley that I walk through, you are right there with me. It may not feel like it, but that's truth. That's reality. That's where faith comes in. I believe that you're right here with me. So I don't have to be afraid. You've got me. It gives me confidence to keep taking steps forward and keep moving forward. God is everywhere. Yet we might willingly admit that Scripture highlights that there are places where his presence is profoundly enjoyed and experienced. What do I mean by that? Heaven. Clearly, heaven is a different experience of God than what I have right here, right now. Does that make sense? There's a unique experience that I have of God in heaven. In the Old Testament, the temple was unique from anywhere else in Jerusalem. Even the Holy of Holies was unique from the courtyard. And Scripture even mentions that those who belong to God enjoy his presence in a unique way. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. And also with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." See, many people in this life, each and every one of us, many of us will go through valleys in life and yet won't experience the same confidence that David had. Why? Why is that? What's different? Well, one, as we look at David's heart, the Lord is my shepherd. David recognizes his need for God. He leans to him. You are my shepherd. I shall not want. He's admitting this reality that he can't do things on his own. David belongs to the Lord. God is holding David's right hand as he's walking through this valley. He can look to the Lord as he's going through this. He's looking for the Lord. There's this grace as he's going through and God's favor as he's going through this valley, this dark place that he can continually go back to and look to. And that comes from coming to God on his terms. His confidence is in his shepherd. It's not in himself. Well, what's different? How can one enjoy this today? How can you and I enjoy this? How can I walk through this same valley with the same confidence? Simple. Is this, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And I need to come to Jesus on his terms, not on my terms. Well, what are his terms? He laid down his life as a sacrifice for me. He laid down his life because of my sin, your sin. And I come to him humbly going, man, I've blown it. And I needed you to die on the cross for my sin. When I come to him like that, and I come to him in faith going, I'm not trusting in my ability to save myself. I'm trusting in what you did for me. I become a part of his flock, and I come under his care, a good shepherd. In fact, Hebrews even calls him a great shepherd. And that gives me the confidence that now as I'm going through life, I'm not on my own. I'm not alone as I go through life. He's a good shepherd, and he laid down his life for me. And he freely offers this salvation as a gift to be received by believing that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I turn from allegiance to self to a Savior who died for me. Some of you this morning, maybe you've trusted in Jesus, but the reality is that maybe you've wandered off as you've gone through the valley. The effects of the valley have made your heart fearful, and you fled. That can happen. You go through, and there's the noise that happens, and you book it. The reality that I want to remind us of this morning is this. There is a shepherd, and he's good, and he seeks sheep that are lost. He doesn't let us just keep wandering. He looks for you. He wants you to enjoy the security of his shepherd. He is a good shepherd. He can be trusted. And David is singing this song telling you, listen, you can trust this good shepherd. Look to the shepherd. If you've trusted and are currently walking through a valley, because I know that there are families that are walking through valleys right now, there's difficult things that you're facing. How does this passage help me? Trust your shepherd. What's significant about this valley that I need to know so that as I go through this, the last part that was mentioned is that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why is it so important for each and every one of us, if we've placed our faith in Jesus, why is it so important to walk through this and be comforted through this valley in life and not just bail and walk away? Why is that so important? Is it important for us? I would venture that. Man, there's grace. It'll cover it. Whatever happens, happens. Why is it so important for you and I to walk through this and learn to be comforted by God? This last verse is what I'll share with us. It says this in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction through that dark valley, through that shadow of death. He comforts us. Well, why is it so important that I learn to be comforted through that difficulty? Why is it so important for each and every one of us to learn that, listen, there are going to be difficult seasons in life, and I want to face them learning that there is a good shepherd leading me? Why is that so important? Look at this next part. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. If we are going to be the church that God desires for us to be, we have to learn to be sheep. Sheep that look to a shepherd and say, even though I walk through this difficult season in life, man, I'm not going to fear evil. I'm going to look to my shepherd. I'm going to fix my gaze on him. I'm going to learn to be comforted because you can protect me, God. I'm going to keep taking one step in front of the other, trusting and looking to my shepherd. And why is that so important that we do that? Because we also want to be a comfort to one another, don't we? When you're going through difficulty, when I'm going through difficulty, we want to know how to walk through this and go, listen, you can trust the good shepherd. Trust him. He's so good. Don't give in. Don't try to numb the pain of what's happening right now. He's trustworthy. Keep taking it. Keep walking. Keep going after him. He's faithful. Because often what happens is if we don't do that, I try to numb that pain. I try to avoid the pain, and I do it in a variety of different ways. And it's to my own harm and many times to the harms of other people around me. And then I don't learn how to actually comfort one another, comfort other people. Because I haven't learned to come to a good shepherd and say, listen, you're a good shepherd. And when I walk through this difficult season of life, I can trust you. In closing, I'll say this. For those new or even old to the faith who say, I want to walk with God and enjoy mountaintop experiences with him. If that's your heart this morning, be warned. The road has valleys that are difficult and they're treacherous. But here's the reality. They come either way. It's not like I don't choose to follow Jesus and they just go away. Either way, they come. What David is sharing with us, the beauty of what he's sharing with us, is David encourages us toward a way to walk without fear. Doesn't change that these difficult things are going to come or not. They're going to come. But the beauty of what he encourages us is to walk with the Lord, the Good Shepherd, to walk strengthened by the presence of our Shepherd. Be encouraged, the road is worth it, like we just sang. It's worth it. It absolutely is worth it. His presence is promised as we venture forward with him through the valley to the heights above. Look to the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Jesus, for being a good shepherd. Thank you that you're trustworthy. God, you've shown yourself trustworthy all throughout Scripture. We can look in the Old Testament of how you led your people. You called them your sheep. You led them from Egypt and slavery and bondage. You led them to a place where you gave them a good land. And God, you promised that any time they turned to you, even if they had sinned, if they had walked away, that you were the kind of shepherd that would welcome them right back to yourself. God, my heart for the sheep here this morning, for myself, God, that we wouldn't try to look at ourselves as, listen, if we look like we have it together this morning, if I smile big enough, if I've done enough good things, then the shepherd welcomes me into his flock. That's not the case. What welcomes me, what makes me your own, is your son, Jesus, dying on the cross for my sins. And because of that, you now look at me as your own. You delight in me. Because of that, I can walk boldly and confidently into your presence because of what your son has done. Because of that, I can have boldness and strength in going through difficult seasons in life, knowing I'm not alone. Jesus, would we know that comfort? Would we know that hope that as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'd fear no evil, for you are with us. In your name, amen.